Today, it's Edwin's Monday Evening Property Rant. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to the latest post covering finance and property news with a distinctively Australian flavour. And it's Monday, and Edwin's with me. Hi, Edwin, how are you going?
Well, I'm trying to stay safe, Martin, trying to stay safe and stay out of trouble. It's 2021, the year of the ox, so head down, tail up, because it's going to be one turbulent year, I'm told.
Okay, year of the ox, that's the Chinese year, right?
That's the only one that counts, Martin. Nothing else counts. Come on. What's going on?
Fair enough. Okay, very good. Now, there's a hell of a lot going on already, right? We're only a week or so in, but it feels like a year in.
And it's only going to get more turbulent, I think. But the best thing we can start by saying is we just got to be prepared. Head down, tail up. Work hard and prepare, because there's going to be a lot of shifting sands. A few more grenades going off, and a lot of floors price floors are going to be tested moving forward. But I'd say predominantly a lot of that's going to be evident in the high rise development and apartments, as you and I've already discussed.
It's already happening. I can see it all over the place in the data that I've got. But the listing numbers are pretty low at the moment, aren't they? And I guess there's always a bit of a sag at this time of the year. But the question is this normal or is this abnormal this year? What do you think?
Look, it is a question that I've been putting out there, and I've been talking to a number of colleagues. And notably, it's dropped from last week to this week. And theoretically, it's meant to be going up. But again, understandably, it is Monday. Listing numbers do pick up on Wednesdays, on Thursdays, regardless of my good friend, my best friend, my buddy, Louis says that the listings numbers come up on Friday, but I'm still sticking to my story. Wednesday and Thursday is the day, I think it's going to be interesting to get a tab on these numbers, Martin, because they are relatively low. They dropped by 5,000 from the highs to the now lowest I've ever seen for many years, many years.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, a bit abnormal with all the local shutdowns in and around Sydney, which is probably one of the factors there. But I think also that, again, in my surveys, there are people expecting to list, but probably not for a week or two. So my own view is we will see a bit of a spike up over the next few weeks. But I think it's going to be sort of end of March before we really know what the situation is, because that's when the final government support mechanisms end and when banks stop forgiving mortgages. So it'll be interesting to see how the trajectory continues. But of course, with low listing volumes, that might put a bit of a floor under prices for some types of properties, but probably not apartments.
Look, definitely. And I think the key message at the moment is stay calm. Stay calm and wait for, wait and see the changes. Let it evolve over a few weeks, and keep an eye on the areas that you're looking at buying. Because at the moment it is a vendor's market. It ended up being a real strong vendor's market at the end of last year, and this year's begins the same. Deja vu 2020 with regards to numbers. But the question is the great purge of the big techs going to affect listings? I'm not sure. Yeah, but I'm asking for if the big techs are going to get rid of misinformation, I think they should get rid of auction clearance rates and the hedonic daily imputations, Martin. What do you think?
Well, it's interesting, isn't it? If those big tech platforms start to become publishers and take accountability for the accuracy of the information that's being reported on their platforms, then absolutely auction clearance rate and some of the price indices should come to their spotlight.
Look, I think so. And I think our viewers and our listeners, viewers and Twitter friends are of the same opinion. So let's send a message to Jack and I'll tell him to look into that very strongly.
Very good. Now, the other thing, I guess, is that, you know, buyers might feel under a bit of pressure, right? So I've had a few people almost panicking, saying, oh, you know, am I missing out? You know, should I be running into the market straight away and, you know, trying to capture the early new year momentum? I think your comment from a little while ago is really, really important. So I just want to reiterate it. Just be cautious, you know, just hold your breath, just take it easy, just relax for a few weeks and see how this plays out. I always keep saying, well, there's always more property, right? There isn't anything that's fundamentally going to start a massive acceleration in prices, in my view. So I think people should just play it cool.
Well, that's correct. And people have got to think long-term. It's a long game, Martin. It's not a short emotional one. If you do get the opportunity, that's what we look for. We look for opportunities for our clients. We look for opportunities for ourselves. And I always say, the opportunity is when you can see a very clear upside to your entry level position or your entry point. If you can see an upside by a very, very simple makeover or a reconfiguration of the floor plan from a three bedroom to a four bedroom or an extension here or there, but with minimal expenditure, well, then you've got an upside. If you can turn a three bed into a four bed, if you can add a bit here out there, or you're buying something with extra land so you can subdivide. Now, if you get those opportunities come by, and they do come by, you just got to look for them and be ready and prepared to grab them. You take them on. Otherwise, the long game is, you know, sit there like a sniper and just wait for the prey to come by. But be vigilant with what's happening around you. The most important thing that people have got to be conscious of is, one, do they have a job in the next 6 to 12 months? Will they have a job? Will their business prevail over the next 6 to 12 months? And how are the international factors that are playing out at the moment, how will they affect them or their business or the company that they work for? They're the things that people have got to sit back and take note of.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. And, you know, it's worth reflecting on the volatility of all sorts of markets. I mean, Bitcoin dropped 13% today in Aussie dollar terms, right? And I saw a whole bunch of people panicking, saying, oh, I should have sold, or I will sell, or other people saying, I got to buy the dip. There's a really big difference between speculation, gambling, and making strategic investment decisions. And when you buy property, it shouldn't be like buying Bitcoin. It should be much more making strategic decisions based on good information, good analysis, and in the cold light of day, shouldn't it?
Well, that's right. Look, if you want a tip, Martin, my first tip for the year for people that want to speculate and speculate on property, I mean, we predominantly help first-time buyers or home occupiers when looking for, because they're playing the long game, they're not playing the short game. But if you're gonna look at speculating a property, keep an eye on what's happening with these high-rise development companies. I mean, Dildem is now well and truly in the docks, and how many more are going to follow, given the rhetoric and the information that we've gathered over the last week and weekend with regards to the pressure that's on the high-rise developments. Now, as you and I have said, apartments are going to become very, very cheap. And when the vaccine, even that's questionable now, but then again, let's say it did come available in 3 months' time and we were all vaccinated and COVID-19 went away. Then, you know, high-rise or apartments with waterfronts in the CBDs or in these shopping centres, they'll start becoming attractive, and they'll become attractive at a very, very low price. But for now, you know, as I said, it is ongoing. Even for those investors that are looking at capitalising off the paying from off developers and people that have bought off the plan a few years ago and they now can't settle because they don't have a job, it's really turbulent. Stay calm and play the long game would be my thoughts for 2021, Martin.
Yeah, well, I think that's right. And just on the high-rise developments, I'm still surprised how few number of people that I speak with, particularly looking in around the Sydney market, are not actually looking at the recently sold data, not in the portals, which of course are completely misrepresenting what's gone on. But going back to the New South Wales registry data, which actually gives you the definitive settlement data. And on several occasions, I've had conversations with people who are contemplating putting an offer in at or above the asking price without actually looking to see what the last five or six properties sold for, you know, actual real prices sold for, and essentially being cajoled into putting too much money on the table simply because they don't have sufficient information about what actually happened over the last few months.
Well, this is the control, isn't it? This is the control of big tech, the big tech companies that are basically controlling the narrative and controlling the play. That's what I'm saying. It's a game of chess. You've got to be careful. There's a lot more to just buying a property these days, and you've got to be very careful with that. And you've got to take that on board. People have got to take that on board. They've got to spend a little bit more money, but it's a worthwhile expenditure in order to get something that that's not going to be a burden to them in the future. Or otherwise, well, read all the fluffy copy that selling agents put on the marketing. Yeah, how many agents were putting on the marketing or put on the marketing or continue to put on the marketing campaigns? Yeah, a never before opportunity to a great investment property. I hope all the buyers that bought off the plan in the last 2-3 years and haven't settled yet, I hope they go back to the real estate agencies and sue them for misinformation, for misleading and deceptive conduct, and also for giving financial advice without having an AFSL. So they're the things that I say, Martin, just play it safe. Mm-hmm. Play it safe. Get informed. Be informed. Information, knowledge is key. Head down, tail up. Study the events. Go beyond the new and shiny bench tops and the polyurethane cupboards and the bathrooms. Go beyond that and do more research. Whether it be a freestanding home, whether it be a three-story walk-up, whether it be low density or a high density. Also find out as much information as you can on the building, on the developer, on the historical factors of the property, which are key and practical to making the right decision. So, I mean, need I say more? It's just a year where you need to be very, very careful.
Absolutely. I'll give you another example, Edwin. There is a lot of talk about gross yields on rental properties, which is, of course, the relationship between the theoretical rent you're going to receive versus the price you pay for the property. Doesn't include all of the costs of actually managing the investment property. What you really need to look at is what I call the net rental yield. And when you do the calculations on net rental yield, about 60% of investment properties are underwater at the moment, nationally. And very few investors actually understand the difference between gross and net rental yields. And yet, again and again, I see all the spruiking at the gross rental level rather than actually the real returns.
That's correct. And look, well, I've seen it for many years. It's not only now, it's in other turn of events that have hit the high density, medium to high density developments, you've also got to look beyond the rental guarantees. You've got to look at, again, once again, you've got to study and research what's behind a lot of these assertions that selling agents make. Is it by way of rental guarantees? Is it by way of developers' incentives? Is it by way of agency incentives as well? In order to land a sale. So you've got a lot of these incentives that are promoted and will continue to be promoted. No different to the incentives now being promoted to overseas investors, Martin, in order for them to come and buy and take the slack that a lot of developers are facing at the moment with the downturn in high-rise development sales or medium-density sales, off the plan sales for that matter, not only in Perth but all around Australia.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's worth just saying quickly that there is a post that I did a couple of days ago specifically on the difference between gross and net rental yields. And that information is up on the website there. It's worth looking at because it's quite horrendous. And a lot of people questioned me in the comments afterwards saying, no, you got it all wrong. No, I haven't. I got it exactly right. I'm actually doing all the calculations that you should have been doing on your investment property over the last few years. And it's horrendous. So I recommend having a look at that. Now, we should just quickly go and talk about some of the most recent articles to talk about. One which really I think is pretty amazing is an afterpay type arrangement for people who can basically cover the costs of the auction expenditure upfront using stage payments later, so that the agent gets it on day one and then the vendor effectively, when they try to sell, covers it over the subsequent periods. Another example of stupidity on legs, I think.
Well, yeah, it's stupidity on legs with a gas-powered engine. they really need a rocket up there behind, really, one that goes off like the end of year fireworks, over Darling Harbour. this is insane. But look, this is the warning, Martin. This is the warning. It's getting easier. Big tech, the companies with deep pockets are trying to make it easier for people to be fooled into buying somebody else's cheap renovation. They're buying somebody else's marketing strategy. Hence the reason why I say you just got to be careful and you've got to look behind this. Now, that article, that email that you sent me from our followers, that was it was rather interesting because it goes from a forward payment or a upfront payment to the agency of $5,000 right up to $25,000. I mean, alarm bells should go off at that point. I've always been a critic of vendor paid advertising. With regards to vendor paid advertising, I've been a very strong critic and an advocate that selling agencies put that vendor paid advertising, whether you think it's right or wrong or otherwise, that nonetheless that money that agents get up front should go into trust accounts, and the vendors should be getting a trust account receipt, not a general account receipt, where it's all lumbered in with every other cost. And many of us in the industry have come toe-to-toe with this issue. But more importantly, it's making it, buying a property, it's going to make it that much harder, because now you are going to see a lot more properties with that have been polished up somewhat, that have got prettier photos online and videos and everything else that promote the property bigger, nicer and more appealing than what it really is, particularly as people expats that are returning from overseas because of the issues that a lot of countries overseas are having, are looking at things online and think that everything that they see online is 100%, when it actually isn't. It's just selling agents and sellers have just got access to more cash that, unfortunately, the people that could potentially be paying for this are the buyers, and they're the ones that are going to pay, because they're going to be paying over the odds.
Well, of course, the key point, and you keep making it, is that, considering whether you should go to auction or not is actually a very important question. This might actually cajole more people to take the auction route, which means that effectively the agent gets more money up front. As you say, it doesn't get put into a separate trust account. It basically goes into the general funds for the agent. So it's another form of cash flow for the agent, firstly. And then the other point is it can include not only the costs of advertising, but also short, polishing up the property and making small changes and things. So you're right, it is just polishing the turd, if I can put it like that. So this is actually just another example of getting more and more complexity into the middle of buying a property. And as you say, who ends up paying? Well, guess what? It's us, ultimately the next buyer of the property, who will have to pay more to cover all the costs of the transaction on the sell side as well. So it is a bit crazy. And remember that with afterpay type arrangements where you make stage payments later. Of course, if you don't succeed in making those payments on time, most often you actually end up incurring additional costs and penalties as well. And by the way, also, most of the agents will be paying something back to the finance provider for the service as well. So basically, and it's another example where the financial player wins, the estate agent potentially may win, the vendor might win, but the prospective buyer won't win.
Oh, that's great. And notably, it's the relationship is with that afterpay company and domain. Look, I've said it before, and I'll say it again, Martin. All the ducks are starting to line up in a row, and if we think that big tech and the big tech are going to be controlling our personal lives, our social lives, our online, big tech's also going to be controlling, as I've been saying for over 3 years now, the industry itself. I'm still calling that Domain and REA will go into the will eventually come up with their own real estate brand, direct sales brand, and use licensed real estate agents like myself to do basically the running around and the and just attending the opens on their behalf. So there's going to be a shift. It's a big shift and a repositioning of wealth. And look at what's happening in the mainstream market with regard to big tech. Look at what's happening with regard to strip shops. Strip shops have been are literally being decimated with this virus, with this pandemic. You know, open close, lockdown and open up again. But the ones that have been, I believe, that have had a 27% growth since March of last year, have been the big companies that provide goods and services online. They've been the beneficiaries of this pandemic, and all the other small contractors, shops, shopping centres, whatever, businesses have been absolutely decimated. So that's what I'm saying. Be careful and be diligent in 2021.
Absolutely, yep. So I think that's the first warning. The second one I think is very relevant too, because of course there's been a lot of noise in the online portals and in some of the newspapers saying, oh, don't worry, the international investors, particularly Chinese investors, are coming back into the market, and that will support the market, so that will drive prices a lot higher. In fact, there are a couple of articles specifically relating to China, which would cast a really big question mark on that.
Yeah, would like I keep on saying, Martin, the mainstream media, it takes them 3 to 4 weeks to catch up to what you and I talk, you know, from what our WeChat chatters tell us, Martin. I mean, that's all those articles prove to me, that it takes them 2 weeks, 2-3 weeks to watch our shows, and then the real narrative starts coming out. But look, yeah, you've only got to look at even the mainstream news and see the plight of many nations that would have otherwise supported Australia in reference to education or students, immigration. Migrants and the like, and any other reason, and tourists coming into Australia, where these countries are just they're going through a worse situation than what we are, and yet we're expecting, or our governments or our mainstream are expecting these people to come to Australia anytime soon. I don't think so. They've got issues of their own to deal with, let alone to be thinking about investing in high-rise developments that are cankered and that are cancerous from day one when they start building these bloody things. And which is the other thing that people have got to look out for when they start buying these or other issues with regards to medium density and high density developments. And that is not only the cost that you've raised, Martin, but also with regards to strata levies, outgoings and the like, but also the ongoing costs when people can't afford to pay the strata levies, and there's huge maintenance bills that are going to be due and payable, and 50% of the owners won't be able to afford them.
Absolutely. Well, there was two interesting articles. The first one basically makes the point that people in China are having some greater difficulty getting access to funds. Of course, there are digital currencies now being piloted in various places in China. And there's limits, in fact, on what can be transferred, right? So that's already in place, which means it harder to get money out. The other one, which was in the South China Morning Post today, basically, and I'll just read the headline, China-Australia relations tax rebates in treaties by Australian states fall on deaf ears as Chinese home buyers await a thaw in ties. So the other one is also arguing that, if you are expecting Chinese buyers to be knocking on the door of Australian real estate, forget it. There are just so many reasons why that ain't going to happen for some time yet. Both of those, I think, are highlighting the same thing, that the hope that the industry has had that foreigners will get the market out of a hole is just a pipe dream.
Yeah, it is. And this is something that you and I raised about 4 weeks ago or 3 weeks before Christmas in one of our previous podcasts. And that was the trial of the digital currency that was already happening in China, which is a controlling factor. Yeah, the government wants to control the outflow or the flow of their currency. So they've been trialing it for over a month now, and it works wonderfully for the benefit of their local government, because they can control it. And there is a limit. So with these limits imposed, and then there was the ongoing rhetoric between our government and theirs with regards to exports and with regard to our trade, that's issues that are yet to be resolved. But look, there's a bit of hope, there's a glimmer of hope, I guess, for some developers with the new administration in the US, and we'll see how that plays out. I've got my views on it, and no doubt you have, and our viewers will have theirs as well. But I just don't think it's going to be pretty. The main thing that we've got to be conscious of is the fact that all the expats that are looking again. Expats and people that are in that medical field, Martin, that are looking to get out of, as you and I have said, this shit show overseas of this pandemic, of how those countries have been decimated, particularly Commonwealth countries or countries friendly to us, such as America and England and parts of Europe. They're very, very keen and looking forward to coming to Australia, the pathway for PR, for permanent residency for people in the medical profession is relatively easy. So it's just a matter of time as to when international travel will be open for more migrants. But I think first cab off the rank and people that are going to be looking strongly, not only going to be, they already are, because the lawyers that I speak with that deal with the migration and the like, and also, migrant agencies, that's what they're telling me, that they're getting a lot of inquiry from these professionals in the medical field looking to come over, especially with all the uncertainty overseas now, Martin.
Absolutely. Well, the uncertainty will continue. I mean, my own view is that the Biden situation will probably lead to more stimulus, but probably not as much stimulus as some are saying. And it's interesting that the 10-year bond rate in the US has gone up over the last little while, which suggests maybe interest rates will be higher sooner than perhaps some expected. So plenty of wobbles there. The third wobble, which is really interesting, was New South Wales before Christmas, back in November. The Premier said that they wanted to bring foreign students over to Australia as part of the repatriation program, right? And so the university is saying, whoopee, we'll be able to get some students. Now, she's come out today and said, no, we're not going to do that now because of throttling back and because of all the lockdowns and things. She's now said, we're not going to bring students back anytime soon. So the universities are now saying, oh, it's going to be the second half of the year before we see any foreign students come back. Now, the reason that's important, of course, is that many of the inner CBD, close to CBD, high-rise apartments were let to students. Right. And we know that both in Sydney and in Melbourne, there's massively high vacancies because nobody wants to rent there. You know, also people aren't working in the CBD areas where they used to. So this is another nail in the coffin for the high rise sector, isn't it?
Correct. I don't think it's going to change. Not this year. Mm. I don't believe it will. And besides that, we really need tens, if not hundreds of thousands of students to really come in to make any realistic impact. But then again, with the with unlike our internet network at the moment, Martin, that seems to be freezing, going on and off. They've got access to much better internet and online connection. So really, to come over, it's costly. Accommodation is costly. And why go through all those costs when you can literally get it online? But then again, my understanding from the WeChat chatters is that the government there is now providing or giving students that would otherwise come to Australia, giving them access to tertiary education that they wouldn't otherwise get in China anyway. So it's going to be a decision that they have to make between costs and reasons other than education to really come over. So yeah, it's only stretching the inevitable for high rise development and medium density.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's just worth reflecting on the fact that the university system in Australia has been very reliant on overseas students for at least a generation now. And so this is going to put huge further pressures on the education sector, on the finances and on the structural nature of the education sector. But more importantly, it's going to put a huge downward pressure on a high-rise sector that's already wrestling with remediations of poorly built properties, an oversupply of poorly built properties, and the failure of a number of developers. So you can just add a little bit more negativity to the recipe there. And, you know, we keep saying the apartment sector, high-rise apartment sector in particular, looks as though it's in for a really bumpy ride for quite some time. I wouldn't be touching a high-rise anywhere at the moment if I was buying. I think there are just so many uncertainties.
Look, there's a lot of uncertainties. And one of the things that comes that I touched on earlier on is the particularly the ongoing maintenance and rectification work that a lot of these apartments will require. So, yeah, it's buyer beware, definitely buyer beware in that. And again, let's just keep an eye on the listing numbers. That's going to tell a big story. It's going to be telling, and we'll continue to report on that as we go, Mike.
Yeah, well, I appreciate your time today, Edwin. And once again, you obviously haven't put enough sense in the meter because you were fine for the first 25 minutes and then it's all gone a bit wobbly at the end. But anyway, we got it all. That's the main thing. So I appreciate your time today, and we'll do the same again next week. And I think there'll be plenty more to talk about by then.
Definitely. Looking forward to it, Martin, and stay safe, stay healthy, because that's one of the key elements for 2021, and one of the wealthiest things that you could ever have is good health. So one of the treasures. So I wish you a great 2021 to all our viewers, followers, yourself and your family. All the very best in 2021.
Thanks, Edwin, and to you too, to you and yours, and look forward to catching up again next week. We'll see you then.